And we're going to start there in verse 21. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, in the King James. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And I want to speak to you for just a few moments on this sermon title, The Silent Majority. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, one more time we come before you, before we bring this word, that your great guidance and direction would flow into us and through us. And a word of guidance and direction, a word that will build us up, a word that will correct us where we need to be corrected, discipline us where we need to be disciplined, warn us where we need to be warned, and encourage where we are discouraged, and build us up where we are broken down. Through your word today, we pray, and we'll give you all the glory and all the praise to your name. Amen. Elijah in the Old Testament is known as the fiery prophet. And he's known that because he, in a moment of great ministry climax, he was able to call down fire from heaven. Now, I wonder what you all would do today if Pastor Rob called down fire from heaven and the pulpit was consumed in front of me. Needless to say, when you got to McDonald's after church, you would have something to talk about. You'll never guess what happened at church today. And of course, you'll be really afraid to say anything because people are going to look at you like, you know. Elijah was a famous prophet, and he was empowered and directed by God to call down fire from God out of heaven to consume sacrifice. And I'll show that to you in a minute. And then at the end of his life, at the end of his ministry, he's famous as a prophet because he never died. And they call him the fiery prophet also because when it came to the end of his life, God, the Bible says, sent a chariot out of heaven pulled by horses. And they were all on fire. The chariot was on fire and the horses were on fire. And they came down and swooped down and grabbed Elijah. And he rode out from the planet Earth in a fiery chariot, no doubt with his hands at the reins, saying, "Hiya!" That's pretty epic, you know. I wonder what would happen to the church today if a fiery chariot came down and grabbed me up and I threw my suit coat down. I wonder if you'd really have something to talk about when you got, the kids would have something to talk about when they got to school. And my wife would be in conversation with my mother-in-law about what to do about the life insurance. There would be a missing persons report put out on me. Elijah was a powerful, powerful man of God. And he was living in a difficult time of ministry. The people that he lived with, the Jews, were the kingdom of Israel had been broken apart by sin. And let me just tell you, folks, sin, I said this is going to be fast, and if I keep doing this, it's going to be a long sermon. But maybe you need to hear a long one today. Sin will always tear the work of God apart. Sin will always destroy what God is trying to do in your life. And sin had torn the nation of Israel apart. And part of the nation had separated, called the northern tribes, 10 of the 12 tribes. And the southern nation called Judah was just one tribe by itself. And the two of them went into civil war and became great and powerful nations, fighting against each other, brother against brother. And Elijah was ministering in this time. And the northern kingdom was infamous for never having any good kings. The first king that they had, Jeroboam, was a wicked king. The Bible says he had a golden cow built, and he made all of the children of Israel, the northern tribes, worship at the golden cow. And to add insult to injury, had the cow built where Jacob had visions and dreams and slept in Bethel, which is called the house of God. And so the northern tribes were infamous for being extremely wicked. They took an idol and set it up in the house of God. And so they were punished time and time again by God. And the southern kingdom of Judah was often reigned over or ruled over by good kings, and they experienced many blessings from God, and their nation survived somewhat over 100 years longer than the northern nation did because of the northern nation's wickedness. But Elijah wasn't so lucky to preach in the southern kingdom. He wasn't so lucky as Isaiah was to stand before King Uzziah and to speak prophecies over likes of Hezekiah. He wasn't so lucky as to be Jeremiah or Ezekiel or any of those. But he was raised up a prophet and a preacher to a backslidden, idolatrous, ungodly people. He was raised up to the northern kingdoms and to the evil kings of the north, Ahab being the king at this time. And it was his job to try to get the people to live right. It was his job to try to get the nation back on track serving God. Needless to say, it was an uphill battle. Needless to say, he had his work cut out for him. And he was always locking horns. He was always banging heads with the local king. He was famous for calling down a famine on the land. And for 3.5 years, he called down famine on the land. And he called down the problems on the people. And because of their evil and their wickedness, to try to punish them, to like a parent will spank the child, or a parent will put the child in time out because the child isn't listening, and because they're causing problems in the house, a child has to be corrected and disciplined so they know wrong from right. And so God does the same thing to his people and to the people of the world. And so the prophet was doing this on behalf of God, doing powerful and mighty things. And here, everything comes to a loggerhead. Everything comes to a point where something has got to give. And the people have never been more wicked. The king Ahab and his queen Jezebel have never been more evil and have never promoted so much darkness in the land. And Elijah had had enough of the wickedness. He had had enough of the wicked leaders. He had had enough of the wicked people. And he made up in his mind that he was going to be ambitious, that he was going to be bold on behalf of God. And he was going to do something so powerful that it would turn the heart of the people back to God. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 18 that the prophets of Baal, he put a challenge out to the prophets of Baal. And he said, you get a cow and I'll get a cow. And you put your cow on the altar and you pray to your God Baal and you ask him to come down. And the God that answers by fire is the God that's real. And so the story goes that the evil religious leaders came and they screamed and they danced and they hollered. And the Bible says they even got like little knives and they were cutting themselves and bleeding themselves out and all over their cow that they had killed. But nothing happened. And the Bible says Elijah was so bold that he started making fun of them. And he said, well, hey, maybe your God is
is on a vacation, and maybe he's not there right now, or maybe he's hard of hearing. Maybe you should yell a little louder. And he was really getting them fired up. And so as the day wore on, nothing happened. And they screamed and they hollered and they cut themselves and they played the music and nothing happened. But towards the evening time, when the sun was going down and it would be about time for the appropriate evening sacrifice that would have been instituted in the law of Moses, Elijah said, enough of this. And in Elijah chapter 18, verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Now what he did was, he said, now I want you to, he picked up all the stones and sticks and had to repair the altar because the priests of Baal had broken it down and beaten it all down to pieces. He got it all fixed. And he said, I want you to bring 12 barrels of water and pour it on the sacrifice and on the wood. Now, everybody knows if you want to start a fire, the last thing you want to do is soak your wood down. And then he dug a trench around it, and he said, no, that's not enough water. Let's put 12 more barrels. Let's put 24 barrels of water total on the sacrifice until it's so saturated that it runs out into the trench and filled the trench up around the altar with water. And when he was done, then he prayed. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came here and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. What a tremendous man of God. What a tremendous ministry. And church, I'm here to tell you that we are not called to a reticent, to a feeble, to a cowardly, backward approach to the sins and the problems of the people in this world and in our country. We are called by God to stand in the face of this black and dark culture and to proclaim the good news of Jesus, to proclaim the damnation of hell, to proclaim the blood of Jesus and that eternity is on its way. And we should never back down from that, nor be afraid to open our mouths, regardless of the persecution or the rejection that we may experience. Amen. This world, this country, this county, this city needs Christians who will stand up and say, this is not right.
My niece, she got a date, a boyfriend date, to go to a dance. I don't even remember what kind of dance it was. Homecoming. And so the story goes that she was there with her date, and she was sitting at the table by herself, somewhat uncomfortable with what was going on. And I would hope that if you're somewhere and people are dancing and being carnal, that you would feel a little uncomfortable. And so, apparently, they were dancing some kind of dance and grinding and doing all that kind of stuff. And it was getting a little creepy, I guess. And she stood, when the music stopped and it got quiet, and it just so happened she timed it that way, and she stood up and she said, you people, I don't even know what she said. You all need Jesus. And her boyfriend hollered at her, or her date hollered at her, told her, shut up. And she said, no, this is disgusting. You need Jesus. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Go ahead and clap your hands.
We need to be bold about who we serve and the truth that we have. It's time to stop slinking around as though we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We're not out to hurt people's feelings. We're not out to make people feel good. We're here to save the lost. And if it hurts your feelings, so be it. If it makes you happy, so be it. But that's really irrelevant. The only thing that's relevant is you being saved by the blood of Jesus and making it to heaven. We need to stand up in this hour, church. Hallelujah. And take a stand for what is right. And take a stand against sin. Now, the man of God, now you don't think you're not going to take a stand against sin and you're not going to experience some opposition. Now, Elijah, of course, he does some really bad things. He took all the prophets of Baal, hundreds of them, and killed them all. Slashed them up. You want to get cut? All right, I'll cut you. And he cut them all up, packed them all up. And then when Queen Jezebel, the evil queen, found out about what Elijah had done, she sent a messenger and said, "You tell Elijah, the prophet, that I am going to do to him what he did to my prophets by this time tomorrow." And the prophet ran for his life. Sound like Gideon, doesn't it? The Lord said, "Pull down the altar of Baal in the middle of town and break it down and use your father's cows to sacrifice in the wood of the harness of the yoke to burn it." But he was so afraid of what people were going to say, he did it at night. Well, I guess if the church is going to get busy, it might as well get busy at night, because that's usually when all the bad stuff is going on anyway. But he ran for his life. And he was a little bit discouraged and somewhat exhausted and found himself in a place by a little creek of water. But unfortunately, he had called for a famine on the land, so there hadn't been any rain in a long time. And he wasn't there very long until it dried up. And he was in a bad way. And he was in a wilderness area and found a little bush to hide under from the sun as it beat down. And he said, "Oh, God, let me die." And I want to say something to the church. You've heard this message before, but I want to reiterate it today. Because working for God and standing up for what's right is not without its challenges. It's not without its discouragements. It's not without its trial and tribulation. And there are going to be times, as it were, that the fire of God is going to fall. And you're witnessing to somebody, and you can see tears coming down their cheeks. And you know that you are in a glorious moment of ministry as God uses you to restore somebody's soul in relationship to Him. But that ministry is not going to be without its challenges. It's not going to be without its moments of discouragement. And the Bible in the New Testament said the prophet Elijah was a man subject unto like passions just as we are. Right. And he got down in the mouth, depressed, discouraged, distracted. And he said, "God, let me die." You know, there are going to be times in your life and in your ministry where you feel that that is the best option. But God has mercy and He has grace. And so while Elijah was discouraged, God ministered to him. Sent an angel to cook him some food. I guess that's what it is, an angel food. And he ate that, and it made him strong in his body. He took a long journey for 40 days and 40 nights on the strength of the angel food that he ate and the water that was given to him. And he found himself journeying to a place called Mount Horeb. This was the same place that Moses famous character in the Bible who's given the Ten Commandments by God here, and famously that God speaks to him here and shows him and talks to Moses. And so Elijah makes his way to this place that has been kind of forgotten about by the Israelites. And in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9, he came unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" There are going to be times in your walk with God, there are going to be times in your calling and your ministry when you are going to lose sight of what you are doing and why you are there. And God, it needs to take us sometimes and kind of repurpose us, refocus us, and redirect us. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword," as if God didn't already know all of this. "And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." There are going to be times when you feel like you are the only one that's doing what's right. There are going to be times when you feel like nobody understands what you're going through. There are going to be times of deep loneliness and abject rejection where you feel like not even God understands the trial that you are in. And the Lord said in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, "Go forth and stand upon the mountain before God." Step out of the cave, out onto the trail, and just stand on the edge and look. Very possibly been nighttime when he was there. "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." And so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and you'll never guess what it said. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" What are you doing here? What did Elijah say? I bet you'll never guess. He said, "You're right." And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars," just in case God didn't get the message the first time. He's going to reiterate it so God can, maybe the second time he said it with more perfect enunciation. "I said, because the children, your children of Israel, have forsaken my covenant, thrown down the altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, only am left. They seek my life, take it away." Now God does something here with Elijah, and I want you to hear what I'm saying to you today. And I know I've titled my sermon in a particular way, and I hope to be able to tie it together shortly, in just a few moments. And he says to him, "Go." Everybody say, "Go."
Go.
He said, "Go and return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint," I have that extra piece in there, "shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that Him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And then look what he says here. And yet I have left me 7,000. Everybody say 7,000. I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. And so God took a hold of Elijah by the mantle, and he shook him, and he struck fear into him, and then he redirected his life and his ministry. Sometimes when we get into that place of discouragement, sometimes when we get into that place where we have been so jealous and zealous and ambitious for the kingdom of God, that it just leaves us completely exhausted and drained, that we need to get back and spend some time privately with God, and God to get a hold of us and redirect our life and our ministry. And before Elijah's ministry, which was quickly coming to a close, would end, God said to Elijah, I'm not finished with you yet. There are a few things that need to happen before your ministry is over. And then he gave perspective to Elijah, because sometimes we can feel all alone in what we're doing. He said, there are 7,000 that have not bowed their knees to Baal or kissed the statue. And when the Bible uses 7,000 in this context, it is metaphorical. When it says 7,000, that doesn't mean that there were 7,000 people to the person. What that means in the Bible, the way it's used here in this context, 7,000 is a number that is really a number that can't be counted. It's 7,000 is a number that encompasses it's the number of perfection. And by it being 7 and in the thousands, what God is saying to Elijah is there are innumerable people that are still serving me and worshiping me. There is a silent majority. There is a people out there that have not bowed their knees and not given in. Don't feel like you're all alone in your serving God. Don't feel like your church or your denomination or your little prayer closet is the only prayer closet that's still active and busy. Don't feel like you're the only one going through what you're going through. There are thousands. There is a majority that is feeling the same irritation. And as the Bible says about Lot, that the things and the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, that it vexed his righteous soul from day to day. There were thousands upon thousands. They were not called to be prophets. They were not called to rise up and call down fire from heaven. But they were still maintaining their integrity. They were still maintaining their faithfulness. They were still standing for truth and right. Even though their king and queen had deserted God long ago, even though the nation, it appeared like on the surface that it was wicked and evil, but underneath the surface there was thousands of believers that were still continuing to do what is right. I want the church to be encouraged today. We may never be heard of by anybody. Nobody ever may know the things that go on in your prayer closet. Hallelujah. But there, I believe, is a silent majority. I know that the United States of America has backslid. I know that our country is post-Christian. And I know that we are probably one of the largest mission fields in the Western Hemisphere for all the people and citizens of our country that don't believe in God. But I want to tell you something today. There is still a massive amount of believers in this country. There are millions and tens of millions of believers that still hold the line, that still believe in the Bible, that still read their Bibles, and that still pray. Don't let yourself get discouraged. Don't let yourself get distracted. Don't lose your focus in a moment of exhaustion. Oh, there is still enough of Christians. There are still enough prayer warriors in this country that God can turn this country around. The church can that there's just an attitude in the church of defeat. There is an attitude in the heart and the mind of Christians that think that it's come to the last moment. I think if the church would rise up, I think if believers would rise up with one voice and go into their prayer closets together and call upon the name of Jesus, I believe that we could affect a dramatic impact on our country and that we could change the spiritual climate in this country. If you would understand how powerful we really are, how important we really are, and how numerous we really are. It's time to stretch our faith. It's time to move on to the next phase of maturity and walk with God. It's time to move into the next stage and phase of your calling and your ministry with God. Elijah would never anoint Hazael to be king. And Elijah would never anoint Jehu to be king. But he would anoint a young man named Elisha to fill in his room and in his stead. And Elisha would go and anoint these kings later and become a great man of God. There are still things that need to be done. Still ministry that needs to be carried on. It's not time to quit until God says it is. It's not time to give up or throw in the towel until God says it is. And until a fiery chariot comes down of heaven and swoops you up and carries you away, you better get focused. You better get stirred up. You better let your faith be stirred up and get back to work. Working for God and spreading this good news to everyone that you know. That is God's calling and that is God's purpose in your life. There are 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee. Let's all stand together today. And Elisha, he learned from Elijah. It doesn't tell us the conversation, but the Bible says for many months and weeks and days that these two men traveled together. And no doubt Elijah shared many things with Elijah during that time. And we see in the ministry of Elijah that he learned from Elijah's mistakes. Elijah thought he was the only one left. And God said, no, there are thousands. And later on we find Elisha trapped in a city and surrounded by a mighty army that was about to crush them. And the servant of Elisha at that time said to him, we are in a terrible way. What are we going to do? And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And the Bible says that God opened the eyes of Elisha's servants and he saw the host of heaven. And their city was surrounded by a mighty army, but that mighty army was surrounded by an army of angels. And the prophet Elisha said to his servant, there are more that be with us than that be with them. There is a silent majority of angels. The Bible intimates that one third of the angels fell from heaven and they are wreaking havoc in people's lives. But there is a silent majority of angels in heaven that stand at the commandment of God, ministering spirits, flames of fire. And maybe it was an angel that came down and looked up the stones in the wood and the sacrifice and the water that day. Maybe it was one of those flames of fire. There is a silent majority. You know, they don't ever say much. They just do what they're told. But I'm here to tell you, church, there are more with us than there are with the kingdom of the demons and devils of this world. We are not alone. We are not destitute. We are not outcasts. We need to stand up and we need to carry ministry of Jesus Christ until he comes again, until he appears in the heavens. We have a job to do, church, to preach this good news to every nation and to every creature. It says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, wherefore in the King James, seeing we are compassed about by a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There is a silent majority. We don't ever hear anything. We don't usually even hear a peep out of them. But there is a majority of witnesses that are in heaven, that are looking down upon us from the presence of God, encouraging us, cheering us. They have been there, and they have survived, and they have overcome, and they have conquered. Church, there is a silent majority that is backing us up in this hour. And it may get tough, it may get difficult, it may feel like, but God may be calling you. Elijah lost sight of the fact, and he thought to himself, maybe he thought, because I'm such a great preacher, that all of these things have happened. But it may have been that there are thousands of people praying to God that the nation would return. There may have been thousands of preaching, of people praying and saying, God, empower Elijah, the man of God. Send us a deliverer. Send us someone to let us know that our prayers are still being heard. He kind of shortchanged himself and all of those thousands that were behind the scenes. Then as he stood there and said, how long halt you between two opinions? God is God, let him be God. If Baal is God, let him be God. The Bible says the crowd, the people, they kept quiet. There is a sign of majority church that is waiting for us to do something with what we have. There is a silent majority of angels and saints of God in glory that are waiting for us to do something with what we have. And the Bible says that the angels in heaven have reason to rejoice when one sinner comes to repentance. The way a silent majority becomes a loud, raucous, violent majority is when we win somebody to Jesus. There is a deafening roar of praise that goes up before God when one sinner comes to repentance. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together. And let's just take a moment to meditate. Oh, what love Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called His children, the song goes. We have been called. God is hearing the prayers of the church at this hour. It's time to march forth and to roll up our sleeves and to labor in the kingdom while it is day. Let's make a commitment today to the Lord that we're going to stop being negative, that we're going to stop being discouraged, that we're going to stop letting ourselves think that we're the only one out there doing it. Let's get our minds back in the game. Let's get our hearts back in the prayer closet. Let's get our hearts back into our worship. And stop worrying about the opposition and the threats and the accusations and the dangers. And let's take a risk again. Let's step out again. Let's press forward again. And press our way into the kingdom of the living God. Let's be like Elijah. Let's go out with a bang. Let's be like Elijah. Let's go out in a flame, in a chariot, in horses and flames, in the glory of God, the power of God. Use us, Lord, today to be firebrands, to ignite a passion in the souls of believers around us. Not with accusations and discouragements and all sorts of negativity of the human mind and mouth, but let us do it with the good news, with the truth of the Word of God, and with the powerful grace and love that draws men to you, God. We pray in the name of Jesus today. Why don't we just lift our hands and rejoice and give glory to God.